My name is Brian Wandell. For those of you who don't recognize me, you were probably not at the service last week, which I was ordained, along with Jay here. If you weren't at the service last week and you don't recognize me, that's probably because you started at the church sometime in the last 8 months, because my wife Casey and I were members of this church for 8 years before that, and we've been gone since April, along with some other members of this church, to help start a new location in cooperation with our sister church, Church of the Advent, and the new location's up in the Brooklyn neighborhood, so a number of us have been up there meeting at Archbishop Carroll High School in the mornings, 10:30 a.m. We had a great service this morning. So that's where we've been, and that's who I am. We're going to talk a little bit more about our family's mission going forward a little bit later. But for now, we're going to dive into God's Word here. The passage that we're working off of is Isaiah 35. That's page 505 in your pew Bible, if you want to look along. Let me ask you a question. In all of the activity and all of the hype around Christmas this season, this December, this year end, are you yourself feeling a little bit aimless? Amidst kind of all of this direction moving toward this this great holiday of Christmas, are you feeling a little bit listless? Are you at a place in your life where you feel disoriented? You're not sure kind of which way is forward. Maybe you are someone who wouldn't identify as a believer in Christianity. Maybe you are someone who identifies that way, but you are so exhausted, it's hard to know which way is up. You feel off the path. I remember a number of years ago, some friends of mine and I, we were living in Colorado at the time, and we went for a hike up Pikes Peak Mountain, Colorado Springs, that 14,000 foot mountain. So we left early in the morning. We got hiking for a couple of hours going up this mountain. We got talking and talking, and the path seemed to get narrower and narrower. And after a while, there was no path. There was nothing to lead us forward. We were somewhere on the wilderness surrounding this mountain, but we didn't have a map, and we didn't have a trail. We were simply on some kind of an incline. We spent hours trying to figure out where are we, and where is the trail taking us forward. Does that feel like a bit of where you might be at today? Are you unsure where the trail is leading you forward? If so, I think that this passage and hopefully this sermon has something to say particularly to you. It has something that may help you as you try to find the way forward. So let's pray. Lord God, we know that it is only you who can search our hearts so intently as to know the way for us. We pray that you will reveal that to us. We pray that you will give us direction. We pray that you will give us purpose. In your name we pray. Amen. So here's a specific couple of verses that we're going to unpack a little bit that I feel like are very encouraging. If you find yourself in this kind of wandering feeling in your own life, The prophet Isaiah has just finished giving this grand vision of what this final hope could be like. If you could just imagine everything that doesn't work and pretend that it worked. If you could just imagine everything that's had some kind of a hiccup or been thrown out of gear. If you could imagine every relationship that has soured to turn to sweet. Imagine what that would be like. And he gives this grand vision of what that could be. And then he hits this great point here because we're at this point so wanting what the prophet offers to give. And then he offers a way to get there. And here's what he says about it. Verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. A highway shall be there that might throw you off a little bit because highways for many of us are not very appealing. Highways give us a sense of cars moving at fatally fast speeds and road rage and come on, stay in your lane. And at least that's what people say to me. But for a long time, a highway was a road that was traveled somewhat more leisurely. It was a way to get somewhere, but it took time, and you knew that it was going to take some time. You knew that you were going to spend time on that highway. It might be difficult, but it would get you there. And this is what it says here. Continue. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness, the road of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. But keep on going. It will be a safe way, won't it? No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. This is a festive road. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. As these people flee to the peace, the restoration, the sorrow and sighing are fleeing away from them. What a beautiful vision of a way to get to wholeness, peace, purpose, the presence of God. So what does it mean? What does it mean? I think that one of the keys to this is this language of return. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. This is a place they need to get back to. This language, if you're kind of following, if you can imagine people walking on the road to get to this great place they've been longing to get to, which will be a place of renewal and refreshing. It will take time to get there, but the journey will be worth it. The word for that is pilgrimage. The word for that is pilgrimage. And it's something that sometimes maybe gets a little bit warped in our own minds. What is a pilgrimage? Isn't that something people did a long, long time ago? When I think of the word pilgrimage, I think of some combination of like an adventure race and like self-discovery, you know? Like the Western States 100, this like 100-mile race way out west, and that combined with like Oprah Winfrey Book Club, where you get to, you know, or Eat, Pray, Love or something. You know, like you learn these great things about yourself, but you also get to like pound it really hard and burn thousands of calories a day. Obviously, that has nothing to do with what's going on here. So what is a pilgrimage? What could this be like? Let me ask you a question. Have any of you done one of these great pilgrimages where you go like hundreds of miles, something like the Camino in Spain? Have any of you done that before? Anything like that? Michelle Pescucci, you've done something like that. Would you mind saying a word or two about what that was like? Would you mind coming up? Yeah. This is such a coincidence that my housemate knew that I was going to talk about this and maybe has some prepared remarks.
Sure, I'll try to keep it brief. So last year, 2015, August, September, I decided to hike about 350 miles of the Camino de Santiago in Spain. The destination is the Cathedral of St. James the Apostle in the city of Santiago de Compostela in the northwest corner of Spain. Because supposedly in this cathedral, it houses the remains of St. James the Apostle, who is also the patron saint of Spain. There's lots of interesting legends about how those remains got there to Spain, but won't go into that. But it's been a site of pilgrimage since the Middle Ages, and it's become popular again in the last few years. A lot more people are doing this for various reasons, some for spiritual, some for not, some for the adventure, some for a combination of reasons. I went at a time when my life seemed to be falling apart, and I had lost basically all control over every little part that I thought I had control over. And I thought, why not take this time? I just quit my job, go take this adventure, but also I had been reading about somebody who had done the Camino and used it as a time to walk with God, literally. And there was something very appealing about all you have to do every day is just walk and be dependent on and look for the grace and the gifts of each day. And when you're exposed to the elements and you don't know exactly where you're going, and as I was going, a female on my own, you're very much aware then of how dependent you are on God for protection and making it to the next town and there being a place to sleep in the next town and food and whatnot. The way is fairly well marked out. There are numerous stone markers along the way, or sometimes arrows painted along the way, but they aren't regularly spaced. So sometimes the way is very clear, and other times you walk for what seems like miles and miles, and where do I go next? But until you come to the next marker. There were times when walking across the long flat land, I thought, that's my destination village, because I've been walking for miles out in the middle of nowhere, and this is the only town in sight, and that's where I'm going, and it's just, I can just go right there. There it is. It's about an hour away. And it turns out the path goes around this way, and all of a sudden the village disappears from sight, and why am I taking this winding way? Why can't I just go this way? But found out later that, oh, there was a river there with no bridge, and this is the only way to get to the town. So it was a lot of walking, and the first took me 3 days to get what would normally take 1 hour by bus to the next town. I thought, I'm never going to get anywhere. But part of it was solitary, and part of it, as I was getting closer to the destination, I met more and more pilgrims along the way with me, and we began to have kind of the same group of people that we wouldn't necessarily walk the same pace, but we would end up stopping in the same towns every night and sharing meals together. And we decided that when we got to the destination, we were going to have a big celebration lunch. And so, but the last day getting into Santiago was the hardest of the entire trip. Woke up that morning, it was pouring down rain, gale force winds, there was some cyclogenesis storm off the coast of Spain. There was no amount of rain gear that was going to keep you dry from this. And it was cold, and it was horrible. And I was walking by myself because my friends the night before had decided they want to go just a little bit further so they could get into early the next day and get to Pilgrim's Mass at noon. I said, I don't know if I'll make it for the Mass, but I'll text you guys afterwards and we'll have lunch. I made it to the cathedral, though, right as the Pilgrim's Mass was starting at noon. And you walk inside, and it's this huge, massive cathedral with gold and lights, and it was packed. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to find my friends. I'm sure they're here. And then I look up, and I see one of them walk right in front of me. And she sees me, and we both start laughing and crying at the same time and embrace. And then she's like, everybody else is over here. And then I hear somebody say, Michelle. And I turn and look, and there's somebody else that I had met at the very beginning of my trip. And we had walked together for a couple of days and then parted ways where the path went in two different directions. And she had gotten there before I did and was waiting there for me to meet me. And I started looking around and seeing all of the people that we had seen along the way. And there's the Italian guys who had been walking since France. And just the last few days didn't think one of them was going to make it because he had severe tendonitis. Or there's the girl who I remember a couple of days ago was sitting on the side of the path, completely exhausted, about to cry, feeling like she couldn't take another step. But there she is. And I started recognizing everybody. And all of a sudden, all of the cold, and my shoes were soggy, and I'm completely soaking wet. But the cold and the tiredness, I just didn't feel it. It just, like, melted away. And then we went out and had a wonderful lunch where we were drinking local wine poured out of pitchers and had a wonderful feast. And it was an amazing experience. So if you get the chance, I would highly recommend it.
Thanks, Michelle. I hope that can maybe color your imagination for a moment as we dwell on this passage, not only on the passage, but kind of what's going on in our minds, and what's going on with the movement here. As we picture people moving along a path, we think about our own lives, we think about a goal that is worth it to get to, that is beautiful and true and good, and where everything kind of comes together from all these different places. We think about getting to that goal, but we also need this road that's very important to take to get there, that we have to stick on. Let me step back for a moment. Because I think the question then becomes, you know, I think you understand some of the metaphor here in our own lives. There's a trail to take, but there are so many different ones to take, aren't there? There are so many different possibilities. So many people who are saying, "Oh yeah, I've got the way for you. Here's the signpost. You've got to go this way." So which trail do you take? How do you know which one will lead you there? Speaking of trails, I grew up taking a lot of trails. I grew up, my family was a big camping family. We spent a lot of holidays up in the Adirondack Mountains of upstate New York, and we did a lot of camping there. I remember being on one hike with my dad. We were hiking up to the top of this mountain together, and as you hike, you know, for hours on end, you know, you have whatever kind of crazy conversations about whatever comes to your mind. You just go on with them. And I remember my dad kind of going off on one of his tangents. He's kind of really politically conservative, and so he was talking about how everything was wrong with the FDR administration and how that had messed up various things. And he was going along, and he's like, "But you know, the one thing that they got right that really helped us was the Works Progress Administration." Don't applaud. That's all right. Works Progress Administration. Maybe you remember this from high school history. It was a huge organization set up so that young men could work. And the government basically just found things to do for anyone who was kind of 20 to 40 or something like that and out of work. And they just paid them to do various things. And one of the things that they did, though, was they went into these like massive parklands in places like upstate New York, these vast wildernesses, and they cut trails right through them. So that places that an ordinary person could not get to could now be enjoyed by camping tourists like myself. These clear paths that were wide and long, and these beautiful views that eventually make it to your destination, to get to the top of the mountain. Without these people, it would be so hard for most of us to get there. Without these trails cut, we would not know the way. We would not know how to get there. And that, for me, that is the real metaphor that I think I'm searching for here. The passage that we read in Hebrews said that Jesus Christ is the founder and perfecter of our faith. The founder and perfecter of our faith, or as some translations like to put that, he is the pioneer of our faith. He is the pioneer. He is the one who cut the path for us to go. He blazed the trail on the way to God, on the way to being in the presence of God, and on the way to peace and renewal and purpose and all of the pieces fitting together again. He cut the path to that. In fact, he was the path. The path cut through his own body. It says in this passage here that the highway to get to this place, to this great state, will be called the way of holiness. And he was not only so holy and righteous in himself that he could make it. His path, the path through him, was one which will make us righteous to get through it. His path is ours. He knew the way to God because he had been with God the Father since all eternity. That is why we can trust Jesus, because he knew the way. He could get us there. He could make us how we needed to be to take the path of holiness through him. Through him, each of us, us amateurs who were so distracted at the base of this wilderness like Pike's Peak, who have lost our way off of the trail, he has put a new path for us. Us amateurs who cannot figure out the way. The way is through Jesus. That is true for those of us here who don't know what we think about Jesus. That is true for those of us who have called ourselves Christians for a long time. There is always a way to get back on that path through Jesus, to come back to him, to worship him again, to say, I need this path again. There is a way, there is a goal that I know that I need, and the only way to get there is through the Son of God who leads us into the heavenly places. So that's the path. Let's just talk for a few minutes. Let's imagine ourselves pilgrims and think about what we need along that path. First, pilgrims have a goal. The Camino de Santiago had a place to go, this church, this beautiful cathedral that was worth getting to. Here's the goal, Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2. This is a poem, so we're going to kind of bounce around here thematically. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the goal is like. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Can you imagine the deserts being turned into farmland? Can you imagine flowers coming up in barren places? Can you imagine the dry places in your own life, the friendships where people have beaten you down being turned back into blessings? Can you imagine the corporations that have unfairly treated their workers being turned into places of places where people can use their talents for productive means? Can you imagine a goal like that? Wouldn't that be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it to come into that kind of desert that flowered with joy and gladness infectiously? That would totally be worth it. And as we read this, I think there is a clear sense that goal is not happening right here all around us all the time. That is not now. That there is a path that we walk on to get there. That it will take time. I think that there is pressure sometimes for some of us to feel and explain like we're at that place right now, like that we've arrived right now. We have heaven on earth, but we have not. Even those of us who are following the way, we have not necessarily made it there yet. There is something so grand about what that will be that it is worth walking toward, though, worth continuing. So let's continue along that point here. The goal is so great that none of our highs are so high as to replace or be that yet. And yet, our lows in our life, when we walk along this path of Jesus Christ, are not so low as to give us the impression that we are no longer on the way. We sometimes feel like things are so bad that we're going in the wrong direction. We're no longer going up. We're no longer heading in the direction of being the kind of people that we want to be. We feel like we're no longer in the direction of turning around the relationships in our lives. We keep on coming back to that sin that comes again and again. And yet it is a path. None of the lows are so low as to not be on that path anymore. God has placed many of those things in front of us so that we would continue on the path. And I encourage you to continue, to keep on going. None of those lows are low enough. Let's look at the path here, verses 5 through 7. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and thirsty ground springs of water to the haunt of jackals where they lie down. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is actually not yet the final point. The desert itself is not the place we are going to. And yet, this pathway in the desert, if you can imagine, again, this road in the desert going up to this great city, this great mountain where everything is made new again. Again, this is metaphorical, but I think you can follow me here. The road along the desert is not yet the way there. We are on the path, and yet, the path that God has put us on through Jesus, when we follow Jesus, when we obey him, is such a path that the end, the flourishing, the everything being made right, flows down into us now. It is like a river coming down from a mountain. The very top of the mountain that we are going to, a river of life is flowing down to us even here. That is coming into our lives even now. If you will obey Christ, if you will commit your life to him, if you will come back, pray again, worship again, there are so many of these things, so many of these new flowers that will come up again in our lives. There are relationships that will come back. There are sins that will be ended. And most of all, there will be the presence of God in our lives. Let's jump back here, verses 5 and 6. Where does this come from? These words are kind of reminiscent of another reading that we had just now. It says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man will leap like a deer, the tongue of the mute sing for joy. That reminds me of something we read just a few minutes ago. In Matthew 11, John the Baptist's disciples asked Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus gives these signs of what the kingdom of God is like. And here's what he says. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Jesus is the way, and because Jesus is the way, the road that we are taking now through our lives, if we will follow him, it will blossom like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will come in our lives as we are on this road, this path through our lives. This is what the path is like. We are not there yet, and yet there is coming here all the time. Renewal and restoration is coming all the time. These not only foretaste, but the kingdom itself is flowing down like a river from the end of time to us now here. Faith in Christ is a pilgrimage. It is, if you can imagine, here's another picture for you. Imagine you are driving to a great mansion, a huge house on a historic estate. And as you come close to it, you turn into the gates, and there is a long driveway going up to the mansion. The path that Jesus asks us to walk is going down that driveway to the mansion. It is not some great reward. Because we had this hard path and we eventually get to the end, therefore Jesus is like, oh, well, it's finally worth it for this guy. No, following Jesus now is like getting onto the gates, onto the premises. The driveway is part of the whole thing, yet you're not at the mansion yet. We have this great path, this great driveway that we are taking now, where we are on the grounds of the kingdom of God at this point. And you can see around us all of the ways in which restoration, in which this beauty is happening now, because we are on the grounds. This is the kingdom. And yet, we are not yet at the mansion. We are not yet at the final renewal. This is what the path is like. So we've talked about the goal and the path. One last point here. This is an encouragement. Verses 3 and 4. This is what people on the path say to each other. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees, and say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Michelle gave a beautiful description there about all these people who have come along different routes or along the same route to get to this great pilgrimage site. And along the way, they had to encourage each other. There was difficulty. And this is life together on the path. In our pilgrimage, in this kind of particular vision of what the Christian life could be like. This vision of what faith in Christ is like is one in which we together are traveling this path in encouragement of each other. Can I encourage you to say to one another, Be strong. Fear not. The Lord will save you. This is a great joy to be on because this is the way of Jesus. I know this is difficult right now. I know that your mother recently passed away. I know that he just broke up with you. I know how hard it is. Be strong. Fear not. The Lord will save you. We need to hear that from one another because it is true. It is true. We fall off that path all the time, but it is true. We need to remind each other how worth it that goal is, how the kingdom of God is coming to us now. The path is worth it. The Christian faith is like a pilgrimage, as we said. Together, we share this goal now on our way to that goal. We share now something that is worth it, like a pilgrimage, where you walk along the way and the path is worth taking, no matter how hard it is, because the end itself is worth it. There's a great quote I just want to end on here. This is a quote from the writer G.K. Chesterton. I think he ties together, he balances this really well on the importance and the centrality of the end vision, but also how important it is now to walk along toward that. Here's what he says. Comradeship and serious joy are not interludes in our travel. Our travels are interludes in comradeship and joy, which through God shall endure forever. The inn does not point to the road. The road points to the inn. And when we drink again, it shall be from the great flagons in the tavern of the end of the world. Let's pray. Jesus, you have given us a great way. We can get on that way now. And I pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to this direction. Our internal compasses have been off, but we know that we need this goal. We know that we need everything renewed and refreshed. And we pray that you will lead us there, no matter how hard it is. We know that we can be strong and fear not because you will come and save us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.